John 15, verse 1. There's four things that I want to talk about this morning. Is abiding, that we need to abide in Christ. I want to talk about the fact that we get pruned to get more. I want to talk about the fact that pruning does bring our focus back, and that pruning also bring us long-term perspective. So I'm going to talk about those four things this morning, and then I'm going to talk about why do we sometimes struggle to get those breakthroughs. So 2 weeks ago, Chrissy again, like always, brought one of those words to the table that that is not so nice, and that is that God still wants to prune us. And that's always a difficult one, because you realize that pruning is not always nice. But I want to talk about the upside side this morning. The fact that pruning is actually something that we can celebrate. So pruning is something that can really bring such a blessing in our lives. So this week, as Milani said, her brother was visiting us, and we on Friday night had to take them to the airport. And I don't know why it's always at the airport, but you always at the airport talk about these horror stories when you go to the airport and get late to the airport. I don't know if you guys also talk about those things, but so one of the stories that I told Milani's brother that I was actually reminded of yesterday is this story of us, myself, Johan Hunter, and Jankor. We went to the airport in Cape Town at 6 in the morning. Well, we had to be there at, I think, about 4:30 already to catch a 6 o'clock flight to Joburg and Johannesburg. And we got there in time. Everything was fine. We had our coffee and muffins and whatever. We were sitting in the queue, and then when we got to the front, they said, "Oh, sir, listen, this is the wrong gate that you guys were sitting at." And the gate that you guys were supposed to be at is just next to this one, and they unfortunately already left 10 minutes ago. So it's one of those moments where you realize, okay, we must be at 9 o'clock in inner city, Sandton, for a meeting, and we're not going to make it. You need to go to buy a new ticket, and it was not your fault. You were there in time. Those times when you realize that, it could have been, it was in the grasp, and you didn't make it. I was even thinking of one of those moments here in the UK when I just got here, got one of my very famous, traffic fines here in the UK, and you receive that ticket, and if you pay within 7 days or is it 14 days, then you get half of the price off, and you think, yeah, you'll do it, and then you forget about it, and then it's £140 or £20, and you think, why did I miss this opportunity? Thinking about these things yesterday, I thought, is it not so that we many times when we go through pruning in our lives don't see the benefit of it at the time, and there's an opportunity that God wants to meet with us and actually connect with our hearts and our beings that we sometimes miss and we don't understand when He starts to prune in our lives. So there's a kind of adversity that many mature Christians don't understand. It is called pruning, and I want to talk about that this morning. Many Christians miss the blessing of pruning because they misunderstand what is happening. And the bottom line is, God prunes all fruit-producing Christians to make us more fruitful. We can almost now go home. Because what I want to say to you this morning is that even though we know that it's amazing and it produces more fruit, it is difficult at the time. John 15, verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Who's the vine? Okay, you're still with me. And my Father is the vine dresser. Amazing. Thanks, Sir Joseph. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Can I just say it again? As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, can we just say that again? Can we say it together this morning? Apart. Okay, Jackie, T. Justin T. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, if we can get that this morning, then I think we've succeeded in the word this morning. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and it withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So, the first thing, pruning is only for those who abide. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Now, very important, pruning is only when for those who abide. Is something that only happens to Christians is the pruning part. The fact that you and I, in our abiding in Christ, come to a stage that he is willing to prune us and to form us in such a way that we can produce more fruit. So, to who will he prune? So there's two kind of ways in which we can be connected to the vine. The one is where we bear fruit. The other one is where we don't produce any fruit. When we do produce fruit, there's some pruning happening. When we don't, we get cut off and it withers and it goes to the fire. Now, one thing that we must understand is that the connection with the vine can only be understood if you understand the abiding part. Because in chapter 14, John 14, 7 says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So chapter 14 speaks of the fact that Jesus said, listen, you can only produce fruit if you abide in me, and I abide in my Father. So you can't understand pruning and the vine if you don't understand abiding. You cannot understand abiding if you don't understand the relationship between Jesus and those who abide in him. You cannot understand Jesus and those who abide in him if you don't understand chapter 14, which speaks of the relationship between the Father and the Son. And we cannot understand abiding if we don't understand the way in which Jesus related to his Father. So Jesus, all the time in his ministry here on earth, and you must remember that the context of this story is actually in the midst of Jesus going to Gethsemane. The time when just out of the upper room, he would, you know, teach a lot of things to his disciples, the last things as we know it, that he taught his disciples. And then they would walk down to Gethsemane so that he would go through a lot of trials himself. And now on their way there, Jesus is busy telling them this story. And he's saying to them, listen, I cannot bring you revelation more than the fact that I, Jesus, I'm so connected with the Father. I understand the will of the Father perfectly. And in doing so, I can see fruit in my own life. I can see things happening in my life because I have the agenda of the Father bestowed upon my life. And he says, If you understand that dynamic between the Father and the Son, you will also understand that you are grafted in me as the vine so that you can experience the blessings of the fruit of the Father. And for us, as Christians being pruned, it brings us to an understanding that we don't want to not be pruned, because in doing so, we will produce more fruit that will be a showcase of the Father and being disciples of the Father. The second thing is, the aim is more. John 15 verse 2, it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Now, we know that in either being cut off or being pruned, we can make the decision. But John 15 verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is the one that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Verse 12 of chapter 15, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So in being connected with Jesus, the aim is that we will in the long run experience the blessing of more fruit. Thirdly, pruning returns our focus back to Jesus. The method God used to make us more productive is called pruning. Pruning can be painful. They can be misunderstood as punishment when they are the opposite, a reward for producing fruit. And pruning isn't something we choose. It's something God does to us. Listen to this again. It's the reward for producing fruit. Now, this is a difficult thing to understand, but I want to say to you, if we get pruned, it's because we are bearing fruit, so that we can produce even more fruit. And those seasons in our lives, we ask God some questions. We ask God, "God, what is happening in my life? Why am I going through pruning?" And yet, it's a time of celebration. In order to recognize and understand pruning, we have to perform self-examination. A place where the pruning again bring us back to the focus in our lives, and that is Jesus. The fact that he wants us to again be so dependent on him that we will not lose focus. And then God moves you or someone in your life in order to bring you to a place of self-examination. Now, God makes people, family, and friends out of our lives, or us out of their lives, so that we can refocus on him. Now, there's phases in our lives where God takes the security away from us so that we can again come back to be him being the most important focus in our lives. And this is difficult seasons. These are seasons, like you've said, Malisha, as well, you know, when you go and those securities of friendships and family actually brings you to some very important questions to God. And we see examples like this with Daniel and his friends, you know, where he was isolated in Babylon. And yet, in the midst of that, God could speak into the captivity of his life, the blessing of him being present in his life. Pruning brings us to a place where we can actually get back to the focus of our lives and why and what God is doing in our lives. He can do it in many ways. Sometimes he transfers us to another location, like the Dumanis now. We trust that God is really going to bless you guys in this new season. But it's also going to be a difficult season in the sense of getting to know what God has in store for this season in your lives. And sometimes God takes us out of our comfort zones and out of the places of rest for us so that we can again get our focus back to him. So pruning happens so that we can focus again. And I want to say to you this morning, God changes what we do often because we are too comfortable to change on our own. Joseph was such a man that often had to go through a lot of change so that his pride could be dealt with, so that he can recognize that it's only when God is with him, when God is orchestrating his circumstances, that he could again refocus. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and my message to you is, pruning is not nice. Maybe it's time to go and put time aside to actually ask God why and what is happening in your life right now, in order to make sense of the pruning that he is busy doing in you. Because God will not allow us to stay the same, because he loves us enough to see us producing more fruit and be more productive and to see us being thriving in the circumstances that we are in. So, number four, pruning develop a long-term perspective. John 15 verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The godly response to this is always to say, God, I embrace what you are doing in my life and I'm just going to work harder at it to get to where you want me to be. I know that's the godly response. But is it not difficult when we go through difficult circumstances and things are not going exactly how we want it to be, that we ask those questions to God and we say, God, it's difficult. What would you do if you decide to plant a garden? And yesterday, you know, I sat with Zoe. We've got this little mat, or what do you call it? Like a sponge mat that you put on the pavement or the cement that you actually then kneel down and work in the garden. I don't know, what do you call those things?
A yoga mat.
A what?
No, it's a gardening, isn't it?
Yeah, for gardening. Okay, look, small thingy that they sell here in the gardening shops. And so you would kneel down on it so that you can, you know, just get all the wheat out of the flowers. And so the two of us shared one. It's quite an experience to sit next to Zoe and not sitting still for one, you know, second, and to take off out all those weeds and to make sure that we actually, you know, have a beautiful garden. But we do that for a purpose, so that it can, okay, because we've got guests this afternoon, so things must look nice and tidy. But also, whenever you make a garden, you make sure to work hard at it because of the results that you will see in the long run. So you prune it so that you can see a beautiful garden, maybe not now, but even at the end of the summer, when it's more nice and tidy and it looks beautiful. But there's an expectation from your side that something is going to happen in that garden. Is it not so? You're not going to work at it if there's not results that's going to happen. Otherwise, it's in vain. And you can rather go and sit in front of the TV or whatever. But so, sitting with Zoe there, you know, I was just so confronted with the fact that there's an expectation in our hearts that beautiful things are going to come out of this. And if God is the gardener, the one that actually prepares the garden, and Jesus being the vine, then he has an expectation for this garden to actually produce fruit. Is it not so? And so whenever we see Jesus speaking of this parable, it's with the expectation to see us flourishing. Even though it's difficult now and it's we are going through a lot of hardship to get there, there's a beautiful expectation that not long from now I will see the results happening. And so for us as Christians, I want to say to you this morning, maybe you don't see the immediate results in your life right now. Maybe, you know, it's not that amazing job that you were hoping for, or, you know, others are getting jobs and it's amazing these days to hear so many testimonies, because I can see there's something going, you know, it's just jobs all over, and it's And I'm just asking God for souls. So I hope that my breakthrough is coming very soon from now. But what one thing that I can say is I will go through anything to see that produce. I will do anything. I'm asking God all the questions that's necessary for you having, you know, that expectation for that job or maybe even for that beautiful house that you want, like Margot and Ian or Ruth. or the people going to Eastbourne. For all of us, there's an expectation that it's going to be more beautiful. But yet, to get there, God is saying, listen, allow me to prune. Allow me to bring those beautiful things in your life that will produce everlasting fruit. It's a long-term perspective in which for us, it means that there's going to be sacrifices that happens now so that we can see long-term results. Now, John Baker, in one of the books that I got from Juan, beautiful, had reasons why you get stuck in your recovery process. He's writing books through the Saddleback community, you know, just on recovery and people going through addictions or all kinds of struggles in life. And he had a few things that he mentioned that I really love sharing with you this morning on why do we get stuck in our recovery? Why do we get stuck in this pruning season and we don't go through to a process where we can see the victory in our lives? So I want to mention those seven things and then we're going to end off praying for one another this morning, if you don't mind. The first one is that we get tested. and so we get stuck in our recovery process or our restoration or even in our pruning season because of the tests in our lives that overcome us. And we don't wait for the breakthrough that God wants to do in our lives. You are being tested. Slow down and learn from it. One of the most important lessons that I've learned in the ministry is not to run ahead of God in the sense of, you know, not sitting down from time to time and asking Him, why is this now happening? Why do I not see the breakthrough? Or why do I not see the kind of fruit that I thought was the fruit that God wanted for myself and my family? And then you sit down and you make sense of what God is busy doing in your life. And I want to say to you this morning, maybe you are sitting in your pruning season because you don't understand that it's testing time. You don't anticipate what God wants to do in your life because you don't value what this testing season is about in your life. We just run and we just do the next and the next and the next, and we tend not to stop and wait on God and ask Him, God, why do I go through these circumstances? Galatians 5:25, well-known scripture. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Always at a place where we have an expectation for the Spirit to move ahead of us. Many people get lost while trying to find easier routes for the straight and narrow. Because when we go through a pruning season, a testing season in our lives, we often find ourselves just looking for answers in shortcuts. God, I don't see the breakthrough, so I'm rather going to take the easier route. I'm not going to take the one that is from You. And I want to say to you this morning, those times you need to go and sit down with God and say, God, I want to be in step with Your Spirit. I don't want to mess it up. I want to be at a place where You can bless me with revelation. Time out. The second reason why we get stuck is surrender. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Now, I want to just be very clear on this morning. God wants to be part of the big things and the small things in your life. Many Christians these days say, yes, but God gave me brains and skills, and I must figure it out myself. And I want to say to you, be careful. Don't ever trust yourself. Don't ever trust yourself and think that you are able to accomplish anything. I'm getting into the habit of, you know, these days, just praying God for the little things even more than the big things. I'm asking God, God, what do you want me to accomplish today? What do you want me to accomplish when I have this meeting now with this person? God, what do you want me, do you want me to go to this event or not? I'm serious. I'm asking God stuff that I don't even understand, because naturally I would always say yes. And these days I get into the habit of trusting God for the small things in my life as well. And I want to say to you this morning, put off your brain. And your skill set is not intimidating God at all. He can use whosoever and whosoever He wants to use, and yet He chose you. Surrender. Come to a place where you can say, God, I want to surrender to you in such a way that you are the most important thing in my life. I want to follow you in the small and the big things. Then, contentment. Number three, Christ is enough. Your sins are not bigger than His work on the cross. Don't ever think that going through a pruning season that there's stuff that God cannot forgive and that God will not be able to deal with. We sometimes, you know, try to put these things on the back burner for the rest of our lives because we are afraid to deal with it. And God is saying to us, stop. This morning, in the intercession, God said to us very clearly, get fresh water in the bathtub, because you are so used to getting back into the dirty water. I want to bring freshness in your life, but you will have to get rid of the old stuff. And I want to say to you this morning, a place of contentment in Christ is a place where we realize that He is more than enough, but we need to deal with our stuff. And so this is also a place where you must forgive yourself for some things that you've done in your life. Because we get stuck in our pruning seasons because we can't forgive ourselves for what we have done to ourselves and the decisions that we have made. I want to say to you, stop that lie. Come to the cross this morning and say to Christ, I want to deal with it. I want to actually be freed from this filthy feeling of not being able to go forward. And then I want to say in contentment as well, your needs are not more urgent than what He can provide for. Contentment brings you to a place where you must praise Him for what you have now. Not one day, not someday, now. That's what's beautiful about the testimonies this morning to me. Is thankfulness leads us to a place where we reflect on what God is doing in our lives. And in doing so, it brings contentment. Because we must admit that it's not because of what He is going to do in this church or in your life. And I want to say, yes, you know, being part of a community of believers always correlates with our growth. And God has a reason for us being in a certain body at a certain time of our lives. And in doing so, we learn whatever we must learn in the process. As the body grows, you will grow as well. But contentment brings you in a place where you must be transparent and open about what is happening in your life right now. And you must be able to say, God, thank you for what you are doing. Stop focusing on what is not happening. Focus on what God is doing. Romans 8 verse 1, there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Number four is forgiveness. You must let go of the past and the past hurt and abuse. You will stay a prisoner until you release by forgiving. Some of us sit in our pruning seasons for the rest of our lives Because we struggle to forgive others around us. And you know what's the test? Can I just say to you this morning? Easy test that you can take with you. If there's stuff that God wants to deal with concerning relationships and dealing with the past hurt, if you cannot celebrate another person, God probably is going to meet you where you are at in unforgiveness. Because if it's for you difficult to see another person, you know, flourishing in the kingdom of God or in their workplace and wherever, it's a place where God brings to reflect our hearts to a place where we can get freedom. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and removes the handcuffs of hate. It is the power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Can I read it again? Are you still with me this morning? Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and removes the handcuffs of hate. It is the power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Now, I want to just say this morning, there's certain areas that God is convicting you of this morning. I want to ask you to deal with it so that the pruning can produce more. Because as Christians, we get pruned, but if we don't embrace it and learn out of it, we cannot produce more. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 to 11. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to this eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to just read this quote as well. There is God's will, the devil's will, and your free will all at work on the earth. Remember, the harm others did to you was from their free will, not God's will. Some of us are so offended with God about what's not happening in our lives, and it's either through our own will or even people around us that these things are happening to us, and we are offended with God. I want to say to you, there's a place where you and I must take ownership, and I'm going to talk about ownership just now. Number five. We're almost there, but this morning, just say this is good stuff. Okay. You will have to say it until you believe it. This is good stuff. Number five is fear. Reasons for delaying positive change in our lives is, first of all, you may be paralyzed by the fear of failure. Because you failed in the past, because you couldn't hear God's voice in the past, because you've trusted God and he didn't come through for you as you wanted him to come through, because people disappointed you, because of the fear of, you know, just the amazing trust that you've set in even systems around you and securities, and you were disappointed, you have such fear of failure that you are paralyzed to make changes in your life in order to embrace God in this season in your life. Listen to this. Falling down doesn't make you a failure, but staying down does. Can I say that again? Falling down doesn't make you a failure, but staying down does. The other reason why fear delay positive change in our lives is you may fear intimacy because of the fear of rejection or being hurt again. Can I say to you, trust take time, even to restore trust take time in our lives. Boundaries must be learned. Some relationships in your life must be redefined. Some of you are used and abused by people in the workplace, in your family, and manipulated by people, and you must stop those relationships and you must set some boundaries in your life. Are you with me this morning? And change is not happening in your life, and the pruning is not stopping because you are not putting down those boundaries. It It takes time to trust people. You may resist change, number three, because of the fear of the unknown. My life is a mess, my relationships are a mess, but at least I know what to expect. And many people live like that. They rather live in the devastation of their current lives because they're so afraid to take the risk in stepping forward and embrace the change that God wants to bring through pruning in their lives, that they get stuck there for the rest of their lives. And it will break you. Some people change jobs, mates, friends, but never think of changing themselves. There's always excuses and reasons why you don't come to your fruition. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hebrews 13, verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can a man do to me? Number six. Ownership. None of us is responsible for all the things that have happened to us, but we are responsible for the way we react to them. You might have a father that was not perfect. I'm also not a perfect father to my kids. Sometimes I fail horribly, but one thing that I know is that I'm doing the best that I can. And God helped me to be the father that He wants me to be for my children. But one thing that I also know is my kids will not be responsible for the things that I've done, but they will be in the way that they responded to it. And this is a lesson that you must learn from a very small age, because we are busy raising a community of even Christians that always seek reasons for not taking ownership for the actions that they are taking themselves. And I want to say to you, you know what? You might have a husband even. Where's the wives here? No, you said you've got a perfect husband, so that's no problem. You might have a broken husband, or, you know, you might have broken parents, but yet your actions is the responsibility that you must take toward them. You cannot take ownership for them doing the wrong things, but one thing that you can is your response to it. So take ownership of the pruning that God is doing in your life. And be honest with yourself in what you can deal with and what you can actually cultivate. And that is the fruits of the Spirit and the blessings of being obedient to God. Number seven, support. And here is the one that that I also want to this morning just emphasize, is accountability. Accountability toward people around you, so that you can actually be in a safe environment, a place where God can prune you in such a way that you can experience the love and family that is needed to take you to the next level. By yourself, you will never be able to become more. You need to be grafted in the vine, and that vine also has many members. People that you need to have friction with, so that you can become better, so that you can learn to take ownership of your response. You will never become better if you don't get tested. And we only get tested by people that are also failing around us. People that love us and yet they are broken and they get things wrong. But you need fellowship in order to grow. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Galatians 5:13, For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. We need to serve other people. And part of our recovery process is mentioned here is the fact that we need to serve people around us, that we will become the person to other people that will resemble Christ, that will actually bring glory to Christ. 6 verse 2, Galatians, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The roots of happiness grow deeper in the soil of service. I like this quote that he gave in his book. The roots of happiness grow deeper in the soil of service. When you can, in your recovery process, in your pruning, can get to a place where you can start to serve other people, you'll become the mature Christian that God wants you to be. But in order to get there, healing must take place in your life. You must be around people in order to serve. Is it not true? You can't serve yourself. Surely not. There's a place of service that breeds the roots of happiness. And each one of us need to come to that place where we find contentment in who we are in Christ and the ability to serve people around us. And so come to our fullness. Pruning. So, how do we remain in Him? His words are to remain in us. 1 John 2, verse 24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is such a beautiful picture. Jesus always referred back to doing what the Father wanted. But there's something beautiful happening between the Father and the Son. The Son will never do what the Father is not asking Him to do. And the Son knows exactly what is the agenda of the Father. Is it not so? And because He knows what's happening with the Father and the Father's agenda, He celebrates in doing good in that which the Father expects Him to do. In that union, there's a celebration of contentment, love, and celebration. Are you with me this morning? He's expecting the same of us. In this pruning season, yes, we cannot always see what is happening through the pruning. And it's difficult and it's painful and it does not produce the kind of immediate fruit that we want to see. And yet, the Bible is very clear in John 14 and 15, and it says that if you and I abide and understand the will of the Father in such a way that we can actually celebrate it, that we can come and cut off all the stuff that is not from God and that is not producing the kind of fruit that is from God, we can find and navigate ourselves to a place where we can celebrate whatever the Father is doing in our lives, and we can see much greater fruit than we would ever imagine. My message to you this morning is, pruning is difficult, and yet, if we are abiding in Christ and abiding in the Father and doing the will of the Father and understanding the will of the Father, it becomes a celebration. It becomes a celebration of contentment in Christ. The result of remaining in is that we bear fruit of the Spirit, fruit of good deeds, and fruit of witnessing. We will bear much fruit, a natural result of being grafted into the vine. Why should we be remaining? Ask and it will be given to you. Because whatever you ask will be according to His will if you abide in the Father. So do you want to see results in your prayer life? Do you want to see results in your expectations toward Christ? Do you want to see results in your immediate circumstances? The kind of results that will be celebrated? The kind of results that will not be great in the eyes of the world, but contentment in your heart and your life, and it will bring joy. And I want to say to you, we receive joy as a gift from God, but your strength comes from His presence. And so for each one of us, abiding means that we hear more His voice. We are grafted in even closer than ever before. And we come to bring glory to Him. And the Bible says that that will be the sign that we are His disciples. Is that there's fruit being produced. People will actually recognize that they are different. My question to you is this morning. Okay, you know where I'm heading. Do you produce the kind of fruit that will show to the world that you are a disciple of Christ? And this is no condemnation. I want to say to you, I'm putting myself on the table here. I'm asking God, God, I want to have more fruit. Come and prune if possible. And I'm doing that in fear and trembling. I'm leopard crawling to the throne room. And I'm saying, God, please, I know I'm asking you something that is not nice, but if that is needed for me to come to be closer to you and have your agenda on my heart, I want to stop with these mind games where I convince myself that I'm successful in anything. I'm nothing without you. I need you desperately in my life, because if I abide in you, there will be lasting fruit. And God, I want more than what I'm experiencing right now. Can we stand, please? You know what? The way we respond to our pruning is the way we portray His work in us. The way we respond to our pruning is the way we portray His work in us. If you were a branch from a tree, would you be trimmed or cut off? And for me, yes, thank you. We're going to use the communion now. I want to say to you this morning, I'm asking God, God, please don't cut me off. God, please don't make life miserable without you. God, I want to be pruned because I'm connected to you. Pruning is a good sign because it means that I'm connected and abiding in the Father. Are you with me this morning? And so as we're using communion this morning, my desire is for you to come to Jesus with your issues. And don't tell me you don't have. All of us have issues. Okay? All of us need pruning, and none of us are perfect. All of us need to come to the throne room this morning and say, God, I'm doing this in fear and trembling, but don't let this season go by without me being pruned in such a way that I can glorify you more. I want to be at a place, God, where I don't always see the fig tree blossom, and I don't see it now maybe. But God, I embrace every moment in contentment with you. Because I know that nothing is too big for Christ to overcome in my life. Father, we come before you this morning. And Father, we know that you are the perfect Father. You are the gardener that wants to see us producing much fruit and be successful. And oh God, this morning we come to you and we ask you to abide in us as we abide in you. That you will come and take over in our lives. That you will come and rest within us. That your Holy Spirit will take over in our lives in such a way that our priorities will be refocused again. That, Father, our, our focus will be totally different. Our expectation will be totally different. Father, we would rather go through pruning for the rest of our lives and become more like Christ than staying the same and finding the comfort of the season that we are in. Oh God, reveal your heart to us. Come and speak to us in the name of Jesus. Father, we don't want to miss that plane ticket. We don't want to miss, Father, that opportunity, Father God, of fulfilling your promises in our lives. And as we stand before you this morning, we want to be honest with you. God, come and do a thorough work. Don't let us go on without the still moment of honesty with you. In the name of Jesus. And so Jesus, that did pass the test, the one that endured to the end, the one who could even ask the Father to let the cup by, but nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. That Jesus is standing in front of you this morning. And as you are using communion, he's serving you and he's saying, my son, my daughter, I love you. Come and abide in me. Come and experience a living relationship with me where my agenda becomes yours. It's not about the pruning even. It's about the abiding part. The chapter 14 part. The one of surrendering to Christ. And this morning, Christ, we come to you. We eat of your body because we want to be partakers. We want to be partakers of your kingdom and part of your body. And we celebrate what happened here this morning again as we testify together of your goodness and faithfulness in this church. And we want to say that we love what it represents. We love the fact that you are tirelessly working at this church and every church to fulfill the promises that you want for it.